Blog Talk Radio.
I can say that over and over again, good morning, because it is a good morning. And you know, even if it doesn't start off as a good morning, whatever that means to you, whatever bad morning means versus good morning, you have a choice. You can make it a good morning, no matter what is going on in your life. We don't recognize that we have the power to actually change the way we look at things, no matter what's going on in our life. Now, there are some very, very serious things that can go on in our lives, like, you know, someone coming down with a stroke or something overnight, somebody getting really sick, a child passing on. I can think of many, many things that can make us so sad that it would be so difficult, such a challenge to turn the frown upside down and make a smile happen. But let me just say to you that I believe that if we want to, if we really want to, we can do it. We can actually turn the frown into a smile. But sometimes we don't want to, and we need to accept responsibility for that. Sometimes I just don't want to smile. And I appreciate that when people can say that to me. I think that's honest, and they're not trying to bluff their way through anything. It's just that they don't want to. They don't want to try. But at least they're taking responsibility for it, and they're not blaming it on other things. This is Professor Applewhite speaking to you from Mesa, Arizona, our headquarters for White Apple Institute, the sponsor of this radio show, Student to Teacher. And I'm so eager to talk to you about part 3 of 3 of our special education message. And I'll tell you, it's great information I want to share with you today. We've gone through two weeks ahead of us. We started talking about special, the word special and what that means. And it was leading up to this one show so that you'd get a real grasp of what special means and what special, when we say special, are we looking at considering the source? Who's saying we're special? Okay? And whether or not we're going to believe that we are special because of what someone says? Do we lose our belief that we are special when we hear that same person that called us special calling other people special? Do we say, oh, well, she didn't or he didn't really mean that because he calls everybody special? So we went into what special means, and sometimes that we need to ask the person that's saying you're special, what did you really mean by that? Why are you saying I'm special? Because we want to understand, when we receive a compliment, especially something that says you're special, and you don't see yourself maybe receiving a reward or an award on a stage or anything that's spectacular at the moment, but somebody says you're special to them, you want to understand why. Now, sometimes we can't ask parents why they say that to one child over another child. But we certainly can ask in our school system. We certainly can ask our teachers. And our teachers should be willing to let us know. As a teacher, when a student says to me, well, why are you saying I'm special, Professor Applewhite? What did I do? I'm going to let them know. Well, I just really appreciated the way you wrote this in the paper. And I really appreciate the way you listen in class. And it doesn't mean that no one else listens in class. It just means that I really appreciate the way you did this at this particular moment, and that's why I'm calling you special. Employers, the same thing. When I'm employing somebody, the reason why I might say to them that they're special is because they've done something very, very unique in their lives, or unique for the company. And so when they do that, that I want to acknowledge them. But what happens many times is we start thinking that just because somebody says it, it doesn't mean that it's true for me. And so we need to change that perception that we have. And most of the time that's linked with self-esteem, isn't it? Self-esteem is an enemy. Low self-esteem is an enemy for many of us. And when we look at... when we look at how we feel about ourselves and we look in the mirror and we say, do we really believe that we are special? Would we say that to ourselves? And defining what we mean when we say that we're special. You know, when we move into what special education is, and this is an interesting topic, because the way this whole concept of special education was derived was from looking at students with special needs. Now, okay, so special needs, I want you to keep that in mind. When you hear the term special education, what comes to your mind? Let's discuss why the term is used to describe a very unique niche or group, this niche or group in our academic systems. And usually many departments call them exceptional students, or again, back to students with special needs. So I advise you just to listen carefully, because I've invited a lot of you in from special education, and gosh, I forgot to put the chat on for you so that you can chat with me this morning. So I will open up the chat, because I know a lot of you have told me that you'd rather chat with me than to actually call in live, and that's okay. I accept that. So sometimes that's the way other people will communicate, is not being, feeling like they're on the spot. So we'll keep a monitor on our chat room, and if any of you are listening by phone, about a few people are online right now, but they are not ready to go on air, and that's okay. You're just listening right now. So you just keep that phone to your ear. But if you do want to get on your computer, the only thing you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com and then put in a /, for student number 2 to teacher. Okay? And if you need me to repeat that, just kind of come online and just say, hey, just repeat that for me. I'd like that. So, back to our discussion here on the issue of special education and why you're special. As many of our listeners will tell you, every episode that we prepare at White Apple Institute is really unique, and we do our best not to do a replay of previous sessions, even though we may mention some of the things that we talked about before, just to kind of bring you up to date. But each episode or part is developed to stimulate us to become more successful students and teachers, regardless of whether we hold academic degrees or not. Now, that's real important to know, because a lot of people assume that this show is not about them because they don't hold academic degrees. Well, I'm not really a teacher. Well, please listen to some of the earlier shows as I discuss the fact that you are a teacher as long as you are sharing information. You are a student as long as you are receiving information. And so, as you know, we receive and share information throughout the day, every day. And so we all become students and teachers interchangeably in our lives. Some of my greatest teachers, including my grandmother, who had less than a third grade education, taught me many things. She was the greatest psychologist I ever knew. And I praise her for that. I praise God for her. Because without her, I wouldn't have had the motivation to keep on going in this field, this beautiful field of special education and rehabilitation. Those are my specialties. I help people with rehabilitation counseling to succeed at work and at school. And I counsel them. And then on the other hand, I also teach at the community college level. And this gives me a real good ear on the pulse of what's happening in the nation. Many times my students come in where they're concurrently taking college classes and they're still in high school in their senior year of high school. And at that stage, they can actually enter the community college and take classes. So it's really interesting that I still get that pulse into the high school student and what's going on, because they're our future. And they need to know the difference between what special education is and education. You know, is there really a difference? Or is it just the difference in how we teach a certain population? How we handle a certain population? Managing the academic requirements for someone who is deaf or blind is part of special education. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And this is a familiar number that's coming online right now. I hope she'll be able to talk to us. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, good morning. Good morning, Maria. Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this Saturday. I am doing great. I love having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming in. It's so nice to have loyal listeners. And this is another familiar number here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. This is Consuelo.
Hi. Oh, it's so nice to hear you. Yes, it's so nice to hear your voice, too. You know, I don't know if our listeners are aware, Professor Esteti, that you come from Peru, and a very lovely city, a very lovely country, I should say. And I really enjoy looking at the pictures of Peru. What a beautiful place. And many ancient sites there.
Yes.
You know, ancient statues.
Yes.
You know,
yesterday,
many thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. Go
yesterday,
ahead.
It was the 100th anniversary of the discovery of famous Machu Picchu. It was discovered by an American archaeologist by the last name of Bingham, and it was discovered in 1911. So even the people from Peru did not know that it existed. The people from Peru did not know that it existed. Can you hear me well?
Yes. That's very interesting. A lot of times we don't know what's even going on in our own country, and we live there.
Yes.
And you know, it's we do the same thing here in the United States. I bet you there are many people, in relationship to our subject today in special education, that are not even aware that we have a large department of education, the United States Department of Education, that actually monitors every state's Department of Education. So every state has one. So Arizona Department of Education, New York Department of Education, and all of them, all of these Department of Educations feed into the federal U.S. Department of Education. But many of us are not even aware that that even exists. And where to get information from if we have a child who has special needs, or if we're an adult with special needs. And there's actually a whole section on there about how to deal with going to college when you have disabilities. And you know, it was
amazing. I'm sure people don't know.
They don't know what's going on in their own country, and just what you were sharing a minute ago about Machu Picchu. I hope I said that right. Okay.
Machu Picchu.
Did I say that right? Say it again for me.
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. Right.
That's it.
And yes, did I do that?
Yes, you did it
you know,
right.
To have something, yes, to have something so special, such an archaeological treasure right in front of you all the time and not enjoy it. You know, but, you know, I grew up in California. And you'd be surprised how many people in California have not really enjoyed the ocean. Can you believe that?
Well, I need to go to California just to enjoy the ocean.
And, you know, it just amazes me. And I'll say, have you been to the ocean? And they'll say, no. You know, sometimes, maybe when I was a child, I went over there. And but there's a lot of inland places. I mean, it's not everything in California is not on the coastline.
Right.
Okay, so that's the excuse of not driving, you know, hours in to see the ocean. But I would rather drive in hours to see the ocean. But, you know, when we talk about even New York, how many New Yorkers actually visit the Statue of Liberty? And Maria, you're from New York, right?
Yeah.
And have you been to the Statue of Liberty?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But there are people that have not.
I guess not.
Do you realize that? Yeah. There are people who have not been to the Statue of Liberty. They have. And what else is there? The United Nations building. You know, very spectacular place, the United Nations building.
And, of course, the Empire State Building, but of course that is not the tallest building anymore. But it used to be that you went to New York, you had to climb all the way to the last floor of the Empire State Building, which was, it used to be the tallest building, but now it's not anymore.
Right. So this whole thing that we're talking about this morning is about something being right there in front of you, resources, special things being right there in front of you, and we're not recognizing how beautiful they are and how much, what the benefit the benefit that we receive from some of the things that are right there all the time in front of us. There are parents that call me constantly asking me, what do I do? Where do I go? And some of them are computer proficient, and I'm wondering to myself, I don't say this to them because my position is not to insult anyone, but I'm wondering to myself why they don't just go to the computer and punch in the word special education or adult education. And if you push in those words, you'll be surprised at what you'll turn up. Go ahead.
A lot of adults are reluctant to use the computer, you know. A lot of adults are just... So we need to educate and to make the computer abilities or skills more accessible to them by giving them special training.
Right.
For example, I have told people about this show, and it seems like they can't go to the internet to talk.
Right.
To get into the talk show.
And then the only thing they have to do is dial a phone number.
Okay.
And they don't even have to, they don't even have to go onto the internet. They can just dial a phone number and listen to the show.
But I was talking about the internet. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They just don't
mm-hmm.
go to it. They may dial a phone, but they don't go to the internet. Like they were not brought up with that. So that's a big barrier that we need to do something about.
Well, you know, one thing is to inform the people that you're telling about the show, inform them to call, you know, advise them to call in first so that we can gain their interest. And then secondly, we can move them into exploring what we're doing on computer.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I think that is going to be the key, and I'm so glad to know that Blog Talk Radio makes it available that we can use the telephone and the computer in order to access the shows, because that's real important. Again, resources around that we many times ignore. Things around us that are beautiful and beneficial for us, we seem to overlook. And usually we don't even get concerned about that fact until we acknowledge that someone, they have a disability, they're not happy, what do I do? And then they begin searching.
Mm-hmm.
I say searching for the Holy Grail on this one, because they're still searching for some magic wand remedy. You know, put this over my son's head, or sprinkle my son with some water, some of the holy water, or touch my son, or whatever, and then everything will open up, and he won't be this way anymore, or she won't be this way anymore, whatever way it is, whether it's a reading difficulty, a math difficulty, learning disabilities overall, bipolar disorder, depression, any of those things. And, of course, especially the physical disabilities. We want a magic wand over them. Sometimes there is no magic wand. Sometimes we just have to look at the resources that are available and go from there. What is available to my son or daughter? What is available to my students? And if you have a friend that's in need of academic education, and going to work at the same time, and sending somebody to talk to their employer in person or via telephone about what that person's qualifications and skills are. That's important stuff. And that's a resource. That's a person that advocates for you. And that's what teachers should become. Teachers should become advocates and motivate students to be all that they can be. So, on that voice, what I'm saying to you, how about if I say this to Maria to make sure she acknowledges that, Maria, you are a teacher. and you have the ability to share information with other people and to receive information. So you are a student and a teacher, and a very good one. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Yes, it is a compliment of all compliments to be called that. So thank you very much for acknowledging that. What I want to do now is I wanted to talk about the explanation of special education. And I mentioned earlier that the focus was on students with special needs, okay, to address their individuality and what they specifically need in order to be successful. Well, I found that all of the things I learned about special education, they were applied to the present-day school system and mixed around so that it sounds really good what special education is. But I need you to understand that there was no special education in the early 1900s and before. People with disabilities, mental or physical, were either taken in by relatives or by the church. And that's where they laid down in the bed and they died, because there was no stimulation. And stimulation, I mean, there was no one stimulating their attitude behind it. I'm so happy that we have special education in this country. And we have it in other places too. But it's here. And it means that a student who is blind or has a hearing impairment or speech or any other type of impairment, that they can actually get to services. And they can have someone in their classroom that can help them with tape recorders, with taking good notes for them and reviewing those notes, making sure that we have the right equipment for them in the classroom and the right resources. Now, this is important because we all need these things. When you go into a classroom, if you have one of the three things that I just mentioned that you have going on with you, then maybe what you need to do is start looking at a way to heal from that. So if you have a learning disability and you want to go to college, don't let that stop you. Don't let it stop you from getting where you want to go. Just go a step further and say to yourself, what can I do with what I have? I don't want to stop. I don't want to feel like I'm not worthy of anything. I came all the way here from heaven or wherever your perceived idea is of where you came from. So I came all the way here, and now I have to deal with being in special education because of my physical or mental status. We're not going to get into why people are in those situations, but I do want to talk about today why and how people can get out of the whirlwind, out of this repeating the same cycle over and over again. That make clear?
Yeah.
Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to make sure that everybody understands the value of special education, and that we are saying, we're identifying the needs of an individual as special. That means unique. When we were talking about special before, we talked about uniqueness. It was one of the words, I believe, Consuelo, Professor Sette talked about. the uniqueness. Oh, you might have, Maria. I don't know if you both were on that show.
Yes.
But it's real important. Yeah. Real important that we understand the uniqueness of an individual is what makes them special. And so when we get into what is special education, we're doing the same thing. We're saying, what are the unique needs of that individual? And adult education is the same thing, because most of the people in adult education are people who have been in special education or maybe even dropped out of high school. And they're coming back after 10 years, 15 years of being out there. And boy, is that a shock to go to school for so many years and then have to quit. That is heartbreaking, because so much work goes into that. Any questions that you have on special education?
Well, just what you just said, the last statement, that many times people, after quite a few years of effort, they drop out or they quit. But, you know, life still goes on, and if you quit, you can always come back. This is what happened
that
to me. I was not able to get a college education because of different circumstances in my life, and I lived such a sad life. I knew I already had, I think it was close to 50 years old, and I had 65 credits. And I pursued it until I finally, after I was already 50 years old, I went ahead. And I got my master's degree, not only finished,
wow,
you know, the bachelor's, but, and so you can always go back, but we have to be able to keep that hope and strength,
yes,
to continue and pursue.
Gosh, thank you so much for sharing that, because I hear all the time, and it's a constant discussion, people who are anywhere, even 35, say to me, I'm too old to go to school.
No.
We're never too
no.
old to go to school. Mm-hmm. We're never too old to learn. We keep learning and learning and learning.
Right.
And the more we learn, it becomes exciting to us. And we want to explore it. Now, at this time, it's very difficult for me to explore things the way I used to, because I'm in a wheelchair now. And so, therefore, there are places I cannot go. Because of the roads. The roads won't get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And these underdeveloped countries. I always wanted to go to Tibet. That was one of my favorite dreams that I used to have, is going there. But I realized after I landed up in a wheelchair, there was going to be no way I was going to go to Tibet. Not the way that I had thought I was going to go. Things change. That's another issue in special education, too. Is that there's some things that are constant and some things that people actually get better. Sometimes they're in special education for a year in the schools. They go a year and then they're back out again.
Oh.
Right. Because it's not a prison for ourselves. We're not trying to create a prison. We're trying to create a safe haven for people to do exactly what they wish to do when we wish to learn. And then after they finish that, don't forget, now they have to think about, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I've got college under my belt. I've got this award and that award. So what does it all mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I encourage you to put together a portfolio. And a portfolio is everything in it, from your driver's license to different awards and certificates that you got out of school. You have to put all of that together to make a good portfolio and make a good case for what we're talking about here. And that is, if you have special needs, it's okay. Now, that doesn't go over very well for a lot of people. Well, I have special needs. And I have polio, or I have cerebral palsy, and I have this and I have that. Everyone's born into the world with something. And sometimes they're not even born into the world. They just, with something, they acquire it after they've been in the world for so long. They acquire, some people become blinded, like a loss of hearing later on in life. But that doesn't mean that they stop.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to admire the person. I see them sitting there in my classroom. They've got hearing aids in their ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I do not speak softly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I speak softly, but with when I eat the peach, I start feeling that way. You really have. You never really saw me going around thinking that I was so special that I couldn't listen to somebody in special education and gain something from them. You can listen to people from all walks of life. Those that are blind or deaf or hearing impaired or that have a mental health issue. And you can listen to them and you can actually grow too. Now that sounds kind of weird. You know, we want to say, well, what can they tell us? You know, what do they know? Look at them. They have polio or cerebral palsy. They're in a wheelchair. Can they really help me understand?
Yes.
That's right. We all have something to share, something to give, something special to give from one person to another. And so when we deal with special education, instead of us looking at special education as something that's not special, especially if we have a child that must go into special education programs, or we have been in them ourselves, because that's really, I'm talking to many of the students of White Apple Institute out there that have listened to the show. I'm talking to many people who just come in and out and listen to the show. And they may indeed have been in special classes. They have had to have a reading class or a special math class to stay over after school. And that doesn't make anybody feel good because it kind of isolates you from everybody else.
Oh.
Sure it does.
Yes.
You know, the teacher calls you to stay after school because you didn't get an assignment. You didn't get it. It wasn't clear to you because of your learning disability.
Right.
And sometimes the student feels like, well, why? Why am I being singled out? Why doesn't my brain work the way everybody else's brain does? And when you start doing, as soon as you start doing that and comparing yourself to others, it starts happening. It's like a snowball effect. That's what we call it, a snowball. And you keep rolling the snowball over and over again, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about looking in the mirror at yourself and being able to say why you're special. And I asked you to take some time and do that, to really look at yourself and compliment yourself. And that is always a hard thing to do, isn't it? But I promise you that if you do it, you'll feel better in the long run. Well, it's the same thing in special education. When somebody's constantly telling you that you're here because, oh, wow, I'm going to use this word and it's hard to bring it up because you're dumb. Wow. Can you imagine someone saying that to another person? Because you're dumb, because you're stupid, because you just don't get it. Have you ever heard those words?
Yes.
Wow. And how did it make, how do you think it made the person feel or react when they heard that?
Very angry.
Maria?
Okay, I never heard on my own life, I never heard anybody say those words to anybody. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, I relate to a lot what you're saying. I have cerebral palsy. I have in the past put down myself very much, okay, in a lot of ways. But
because of the cerebral palsy.
Yes, because of cerebral palsy, because of I have a lot of learning disabilities. I got nowhere in my life. I think in some areas I haven't achieved or learned or where things that I would like to become better. But I'm learning, and life is a process. As you walk, as every year that goes by in your life, you learn. I come to the point that I'm very thankful to my God, because if without God, I would not be where I've been. And they give me the opportunity to major, Miss Apple. It has
uh-huh.
helped me to grow a lot. Look at me. I was
yes.
embarrassed to even talk about in a radio show. I don't know how to show something.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm sorry. One moment. Okay. I'm sorry. I had someone calling in here, and I
okay.
can't hear you. Okay, that's, okay, I'll screen that call in just a moment. We have another caller coming on. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh, it is a good morning.
Yes,
it is.
It
a good
is.
Morning. I started off the show this morning saying good morning about 3 times because it feels so good to say good morning. How many people say bad morning?
Yeah.
Bad morning to you. Bad morning to you, okay? No, we don't do that, but we certainly can act it out. Who am I speaking with?
This is Dr. Pomitz.
Dr.
Pomitz.
Dr. Beverly Ponitz, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you for
yes.
calling in this morning. Yes. Dr. Ponitz is on the board of directors for White Apple Institute, and we thank you so much for joining us. She's always traveling, so it's really a nice thing to have her on the show, and especially this particular show, because we're talking about special education and what makes us so special and what makes us call people special. That are in special education. And I'm not sure. One moment. I'm getting a call in. It seems from a real digital planet. And I'm not sure what that is. Hold on a minute. Okay. I think I just muted it. And maybe it's somebody that's on hold. So please forgive that. Okay. So, Dr. Ponitz, I think you know Professor Estete that's online right now. Consuelo Estete is
yes.
online.
Oh, good
yes.
morning.
Yes, I do.
Dr.
Good morning.
Pullen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to hear
pleasure
you.
To, and we'll say good morning a third time.
Good morning.
Right. You know, I love the information on special because
mm-hmm.
we have so many people who are special. And
yeah.
I just love to encourage the special, because we in our society we have had the notion that we need to term something as normal, and when
mm-hmm.
it isn't normal according to whoever the powers that be, then
mm-hmm.
they're abnormal. But
right.
people are special in their own way. Everyone has something different to offer to the world.
Yes.
And I've been
yes.
exposed to children who are just They're brilliant, just individuals, and they have so much to give to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But as they're developing and growing based on outside influences, those
mm-hmm.
special talents and skills and stuff that they have, they get taken away from them. They start burying them because society says, that's not normal. And so they start to operate at the same level of society instead of exceeding like they were meant to do. And so I've been exposed to a few of the children that I'm just so excited to help them to maintain their gifts and not lose them to society because they're special. We're all special. In fact, I'm so thankful that it's not noisy where I am right now because I am with one of those special children. And she is so knowledgeable already. She's 1 year old and can duplicate whatever it is that she sees you do. She can imitate. And so I have to keep a close eye on her.
Yes.
Exactly. And so it's our job as teachers and parents and friends, cousins, uncles, to foster these children and not take away their special gifts, but to help them to maintain those special gifts.
Right. You know, for years I taught gifted and they call it gifted and talented education, GATE. And it's really interesting in the gifted education category that we talk about special needs. We talk about the factor that that this is, it's a broad term for special, here we go again, special practices, special theories that we come up with about what is a gifted child, what is a gifted adult, okay? Because we look at, I mean, look at the Stephen Hawkins of the world, a nuclear physicist, okay? A nuclear physicist who is has been somewhat, people say, debilitated by his disease, but there is no way when you hear this man speak that you can think of any kind of debilitation. I mean, he is one of the smartest people on the planet. And he takes Albert Einstein's theory of relativity and can almost break it down to where a child can understand it, okay? And he's been like that all of his life. And there are many, many other people out there that everybody, like you said a moment ago, everybody has a special talent, not only a special need, because that's what we're talking about in special education. That is how it's defined, by someone who has a special need. But there also is that definition of saying they have a special gift. They've done something special in their life. Let's acknowledge that. Let's get happy about it. Instead of looking at special education as, oh, my God, I would never, ever tell anybody that I was in special education or that I have a learning disability. If you have a learning challenge in one area, what that usually means, and this is through my 30-something years of teaching, I have always found that student to excel in other areas. So if it's a reading, and I'll just call it the name that we have out there in our society, a reading disability, then usually the math is above and beyond. Do you find that, Professor Estetti?
Yes.
In your work?
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dr. Polnis, you teach. You've taught for years, too. You've taught in computer science, I believe, in business courses, right?
Right. That's correct.
Yes.
I have found that exactly as you're saying, that the child or the person who may be lacking, if you want to say lacking in one area or have difficulties learning in that one area, will excel, for sure, in another area. And I've seen it happen many times. I was a young man who was in one of my technology classes who could not really speak and express himself. But he could take the electronic circuits and make anything out of them that he wanted to without directing. He would just put it together. He excelled in the class.
Wow.
He was number one in the class. But when it came time to speak about his invention or creation, he was not able to do that. He could not just formulate the correct words to articulate what it was that his system would do.
Wow.
So I would not say he has any type of disability. He has so many abilities. It's just a matter of the teacher directing them and helping them to nurture the ones that they have.
And listen to what you just said. Yes, and listen to what you just said. What you said, I believe, let me repeat it in paraphrase, that what you said was that we have so many abilities to look at. So all of our listeners out there, I want you to really hear this. We have so many abilities that just to look at the one so-called disability that we have is an injustice to yourself. It's truly an injustice. Because if we stop for a moment and stop focusing so much on what we call a learning disability or disability in any form, physical disability or whatever, and we start looking at what we are able to do. Because many people will call me or write to me and they'll say, I thought your show was about disability, people with disabilities, and I have things that I want to say about the way that the system is with people with disabilities. There's lots of forms for that. There's lots of ways you can do that. This show is about empowering people so that we don't live under the label of disabled. So I don't want to promote that idea of saying disabled, disabled all the time because of the fact that we start believing that that becomes an excuse for us not to excel in life, not to succeed in life, because everyone has a disability. I have not met one person yet that doesn't have a disability. And when I say that to young, strong, athletic men, young men especially, that are just entering college and they're in football and basketball and all of these things, and they'll look at me and say, disability? I don't have a disability. But let me have a few minutes with you. Let me go ahead and test you somewhere. Let me do an overall assessment of all of your abilities. And I will find a disability somewhere in there. And they look at me and they say, yeah, I had some trouble with math. And now it all comes out. So just because you're so great on the basketball court doesn't mean that you don't have something that you have to work on still. But should that stop you? I hope not. Listen to our guests this morning who are online. This morning, Maria was just telling us how she has overcome many obstacles with her cerebral palsy. And she rolls up her sleeves. Isn't that right, Maria? You roll up your sleeves and you still keep going. And and I understand you're involved in a lot of activities with friends. This is an important part. That's important, Maria. So that building a social network is one of the most important things in developing ourselves. You'd be surprised at how many people isolate themselves and won't even get out and socialize with people because they're afraid that someone will see and know that they have a disability. That someone will not see how special they are. And we are special, all of us. Thank you, Dr. Polnitz, for bringing that out. Professor Stetti, when you look at, do you know that, and I'm not just addressing this to you, I'm addressing this to our overall audience. Do you know that there are resources on the college campus where even people with mental retardation, now get this, I know this is going to sound really weird to you, but when I looked at the statistics for how many people are in college with because they're blind, I mean, not because they're blind, but they are blind and they are deaf, and that made up almost 40% of the student population in the so-called disabled population of students. Then I saw a statistic that really, really blew my mind, is that people with mental retardation, with 35%, they're in college. Because mental retardation comes in different levels. So does autism. So I had a student with autism that's doing a wonderful job now, working for Disney.
Oh.
And the only thing that
wow.
I asked, he came in, and his father came in with him, interestingly. And that's okay. You know, that's a good support system. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I encourage students to have that relationship with anybody that they can. If they're willing to sit with you and help you and motivate you to go to school and to be with you, go ahead. Take full advantage of that because they want to give you that gift. But so here he comes with his father, and his father is saying, hey, what can he do? I mean, my God, he's autistic. He's got Asperger's syndrome, which is a lighter form of autism, audience. Now, listeners out there, God bless all of you for hanging in there with the show. But that's a very light form of autism, but it's still a form of autism. And this young man knew everything he could know about graphic design. He was self-taught so that when he started classes at the college I was teaching at that time, he breezed through those classes like you were talking about that person, Dr. Polnis, a moment ago. Just breezed right through them. He knew exactly what to do on that computer and the graphic design and everything. The only thing that he needed was to be left alone. And that's what I told the interviewer when he came from Disney, because they did a mass interview, is that hiring this young man with all of his experience, and I know that they were amazed at what he could do, but there's the payoff is that he doesn't want to go to any parties. He doesn't want to do anything to socialize with anybody on the job. And if you can accept that, wow, this guy will do a wonderful job for you. So what am I saying? I'm saying we need to recognize sometimes we don't want to necessarily call them limitations, but it's where we want to place most of our energy. It's like that saying, pick your battles carefully. Well, pick where you put your energy carefully. Okay, so if you have something that you know is going to be a challenge to you that you want to do, make up your mind, say, I want to do this, I'm making a choice where I'm going to roll up my sleeves and go for it, but I'm going to do it because it's going to make me feel good and not because other people expect it of me. And I'm not going to be afraid that if I don't make it, that other people are going to laugh at me and put me down. Because if you're around people like that, I encourage you, strongly encourage you, get away from them. Get away from people that don't understand the special in special education. That, yes, you had special needs, but that doesn't make you dumb or stupid or any of those horrible words that are out there that make people, they make jokes about it, and they make those that, if you've been in a special education class and you're around people that are making jokes, that they're making jokes about who you are, then I'll tell you something, get away from them. You want to be around people that make you feel special. We've got about 90 seconds left. Anybody want to have something else that they want to add in?
Well, I just want to thank you, Dr. Applewhite, for the show and all the information and the loving counsel and wisdom of your lessons. And I just hope that a lot more people get to listen to the show. Thank you
well,
so much.
I think that just,
I have
you.
Learned
thank
so
you
much.
Very much.
So much.
Well, thank you. And that says a lot coming from another person, another colleague in the university setting, that for you to say that to me really makes me feel very wonderful. But I also feel wonderful and special when I hear people who are not at the university level, at the academic level that you're at, when they say the same thing to me. Because I regard you as special. I regard everyone. If I look hard enough, I'll find that special thing. This is Professor Applewhite signing off for this week. I'll see you next week. And please tune in. If you missed any of the show, just go ahead in and click on play and listen to it again. We thank Nazim Rashid for this great music that he provides for us. God bless all of you.